An estimated 646,805 Alaskans will get a check from the state for $878 next month. It's the 2012 Alaska Permanent Fund dividend. And while it sounds low, the historical low actually came in 1984 when individual checks totaled $331. The dividend is based on a five-year average of the fund's investment returns. Revenue Commissioner Brian Butcher announced this year's amount yesterday morning in Anchorage, and he says 2009 weighs on those calculations.
As long as the fiscal year 09 year that lost in the billions of dollars from, as we all remember, the late 2008 drop in the stock market, as long as that year is part of the five-year calculation, it's going to be a little lower. So next year's dividend will be the last year that that down year will be factored in.
The highest distribution was in 2008 when Alaskans received $2,069 for the PFD and a $1,200 Alaska resource rebate. Last year's dividend was $1,174. Dividends will be paid out on October 4th when about 515,000 checks will be deposited in applicants' bank accounts. Another 85,000 checks will go into the U.S. mail. This will be the 31st dividend to be paid to Alaskans. Former Governor Tony Knowles says state lawmakers must change the state's oil tax structure. Knowles is with the Make Alaska Competitive Coalition, a group that includes businesses, organizations, and individuals seeking changes to the oil tax regime as part of an effort to boost oil production. The group held a news conference in Anchorage yesterday in which members discussed their group's plans to be involved in this year's elections. The group says its campaign will be aimed at motivating Alaskans to demand answers from political candidates about how they will address declining oil production. Members say the group is not advocating a specific tax plan. A spokesman says the group is running advertisements and set a fundraising goal of between $300,000 and $500,000. The annual permanent fund dividend could have been accompanied by energy relief for Alaskans, but the idea died before it ever made to Governor Sean Parnell's desk last spring. Two interior lawmakers say Parnell could still call a special session later on this fall to address the state's energy crisis. Emily Schwing has more on the story.
It's the smallest PFD in 7 years, and it would have been accompanied by a 250-gallon fuel voucher if Democratic Senator Joe Pascvan of Fairbanks had had his way.
This crisis is real. This is beyond politics. This is something where people are saying, we need help now.
Senator Pascvan and fellow Democratic Senator Joe Thomas, also of Fairbanks, sponsored Senate Bill 203 last spring. It created the fuel voucher program. It was the only energy relief legislation to pass during this year's legislative session. Republican Senator John Coghill of North Pole was one of four senators to vote against it.
They were saying it was about temporary relief, when in fact it was installing a permanent entitlement program, which I just fundamentally disagreed with. And if I'd have been on a committee that we could have talked about it, then maybe we could have hammered out some of those details.
The bill did not pass in the House. Senator Thomas says one solution for this winter is for the governor to call a special session following the election in November.
If they have some concerns about it, it doesn't take long to rewrite things and put a plan forward. And in a special session, you could expect that in a week or two or 3 weeks, whatever. You could certainly get through the basics of it and come up with something that satisfies your idea, unless you just simply are opposed to the philosophy of it in general.
Senator Coghill says he'd support a special session.
But if the voucher is the only thing on the table, I would say it's probably not the best thing because they're looking at an entitlement. I'd much rather put money into production of energy, whether it's natural gas, doing something with royalty oil. If we did that, you get my attention.
Senator Joe Thomas says a natural gas trucking project is the best option to get cheaper energy to Fairbanks in the near term. He says that plan is in the works. Meanwhile, both Thomas and Senator Pascvan plan to bring the voucher program back to the legislature during next year's session, should they be reelected this fall. In Fairbanks, I'm Emily Schwing.
Buccaneer Energy's jackup rig Endeavor was originally supposed to be in Ketchikan Bay for only 6 days before moving on to drill near Tionic on the west side of Cook Inlet. Because of work being done to the massive rig, however, it's been in place outside the Homer Harbor for almost a month. Now, as Aaron Selbig reports, the rig has done something that is normally not allowed in Ketchumak Bay. It has lowered its 410-foot legs down to the seafloor.
The last time a jack-up oil rig put down its legs in Ketchumak Bay was in 1976, when the Standard Oil-owned George Ferris rig set up in nearly the same spot that Buccaneer Energy's Endeavor is in now. After the Ferris became stuck in 80 feet of mud there, an underwater demolition team had to be called in to blow the rig's legs up in order to free it. That incident produced an oil sheen that stretched for several miles, and the resulting public outcry caused the state of Alaska to rescind all oil leases in Ketchumak Bay and declare it a critical habitat area. When the Endeavor extended its legs to the bottom of the bay last weekend, it was not to drill for oil or gas, of course. It was in response to a massive windstorm that wreaked havoc all over South Central Alaska. Homer Harbormaster Brian Hawkins says that his staff and the crew of the Endeavor prepared for the storm by using two high-powered tugboats to hold the rig in place.
We were concerned that with the wind speeds that they were estimating would be as much as 60 and 70 knots, that they may not be able to hold it.
As of Tuesday afternoon, the legs were still down. Hawkins says that is in preparation for another round of windy weather forecasted for Tuesday night and Wednesday. One troubling byproduct of the incident, says Hawkins, is damage that occurred to the city's deepwater dock when the Endeavor slammed into it. Hawkins says the city of Homer will charge Buccaneer Energy for that damage. Another problem for Buccaneer is the potential consequences of violating the state's rules regarding the Ketchumak Bay critical habitat area. Jenny Litchfield is a habitat biologist in the Soldotna office of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. She is the one who will ultimately decide if Buccaneer has violated Ketchumak Bay's critical habitat designation, and if so, what the penalty might be.
Right now we're awaiting documentation of the decision-making process and how, you know, it all came about. So we have to review that information prior to making any determination on if it violates the plan or not.
Litchfield says she expects that documentation by the end of this week. She would not comment on whether an exception to the designation might be made for an emergency situation, nor would she say what the potential consequences could be. Hawkins says Buccaneer's crew on the Endeavor has been, quote, a pleasure to work with. He says the company has provided an economic boost in the form of dockage and other fees paid to the city and temporary jobs created aboard the rig. Hawkins says he does not know when the rig, which arrived in Ketchumak Bay August 24th, will be leaving for its first planned drilling project near Tyonek on the west side of Cook Inlet.
When it first arrived, they were hopeful that they would be here for 6 days and then be off to work, but they just keep finding more and more work that needs to be done, and so they just keep postponing their departure.
Attempts to reach executives for Buccaneer Energy through the company's public relations firm, JMR Worldwide, were unsuccessful. In Homer, with an assist from Shaylin Cochran in Kenai, I'm Aaron Selbig.